Morning, morning, morning. Now, the warning is, there's a morning warning, and the warning is from my friends at the Bureau. His name's David McAvenner. The warning is that there could be a storm, so we might go without power, so we might need to light the candles. But we're just giving you a heads up that we will keep on going. We'll sing without backing, which will be a huge disappointment, but we will be able to keep on going. We can do this. We've done it all before. So good morning all. November. November. Can you believe November? For us, that means the Christmas market. And that is, see how good you are, Saturday the... How clever are you guys? Saturday the 22nd, our chance to show our community. And then obviously the word Christmas means pageants, gatherings, carols. Yes, I love singing carols. A bit disappointing you only get to sing carols once a year. But our team is here. We've got Ed, we've got Chloe, we've got Jenny, and we've got Trevor back. He's come back for us. He just wants to come back time after time. How good is that? And his challenge to us is, what does it mean to be a follower of Christ? Let's sing. Come on. While we can, while we've got power, we might have power for the whole thing, but we're getting ourselves worried about nothing. Lord Jesus Christ, let's stand and sing. 1, 2, 3, 4. Dun, 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 dun. Two, three, four. Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us. You are one with us, Mary's Son, cleansing our souls from all their sin, pouring your love and goodness in. Jesus, our love for you we sing, living Lord. One, two, here we go. Lord Jesus Christ, now and every day, teach us how to pray. Son of God, you have commanded us to do this in remembrance, Lord, of you. Into our lives your power breaks through, living Lord. One, two, let's go with the third. Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us, born as one of us, Mary's Son, led out to die on Calvary, risen from death to set us free. Living Lord Jesus, help us see, you are Lord. Last verse coming up. 1, 2, 3, 4. Lord Jesus Christ, I would come to you, live my life for you, Son of God. All your commands I know are true, your many gifts will make me new. Into my life your power breaks through, living Lord. Into my life, your power breaks through. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Okay. Now we can't actually sit down. I'm sorry. This next song that we're going to sing means that you have to stand. I don't know whether... Well, no, that's not true. You don't have to stand. It is possible to sing We Are Marching without standing, but I would think there is a fair chance that you might need to stand and sing We Are Marching. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4.
We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. We are are marching in the light of God. We are marching, marching, we are marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God. We are marching, marching, we are marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God.
Verse 2.
We are living in the love of God. 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 We are living, living, we are living. Oh, we are living in the love of God. We are living, living, we are living. Oh, we are living in the love of God. We are moving in the power 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 of God. We are moving, moving, we are moving. Oh, we are moving in the power of God. We are moving, moving, we are moving. Oh, we are moving in the power of God.
One again.
We are marching in the light of God. 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 We are marching, marching, we are marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God. We are marching, marching, we are marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God.
You have done well. You can sit down and relax. Take a deep breath, because you'll need it after all of that exercise, and listen to the beautifully delivered notices that I'm going to give you. We've talked about the market the 22nd. There are still some openings and places that you can do some signing up and chatting to people about helping, assisting on the day. 10 o'clock is when we start, but there's a bit of preparation before. If you were thinking you might turn up at 10, da-dung. But you might do the shift from 1 o'clock to 1:30 or 1 o'clock to 2:30 or all of that. That's all good. We've got a congregational meeting on the 30th of November. That's the weekend after the 22nd. So we will be a chance to look at our church and think about our church, as well as voting for elders and people. We've got home aloneers. That's this... Yep, that's this Wednesday. Yep, and we need to make sure that people know, Bob and Bob need to know by today. Circle of Friends on the 11th of November. We have got the Sunday morning tea roster, still has some spaces on it, so we would want to have those spaces filled by people who think that they can greet, set up, make a cup of tea, make a cup of coffee, or whatever, and help us to... keep our community going after a service, because the community part of our church is pretty important. Pam, could we have our reading for today? I wrote it by mistake as starting at verse 18 and going to verse 18. And so some of these guys went, what are you talking about? How can we just do that? But we have fixed it. We know what we're doing.
Our reading today is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. Do everything without grumbling. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service which comes from your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We can sit and sing this one. Ready?
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of sin.
Today during the communion, we're actually going to ask you to stand up a couple of different times. And a part of what we do as people is we come and bring ourselves before God. And there are many ways that we do that. Sometimes it's kneeling. Sometimes it's standing. I remember when I was young, when I learnt about the people who used to lay cruciform on their stomach. Cruciform means in the shape of a cross, of course. To lay cruciform on their stomachs in front of the communion table as a mark of honour to Jesus. And sometimes we stand and sometimes we sit. So we're going to get you to stand a couple of times during this, because it's about us saying to Jesus, I belong to you. Okay, now, for those of you who are not able to stand, all right, because not everyone is able to stand, can I say I encourage you to stand in your heart? Because you may not, I mean, I can't kneel anymore for communion. I've got a dodgy knee. You know, so, you know, sometimes our bodies don't do what we want. But, you know, sometimes it's about saying, well, I can't do this with my body at the moment, but I'm sure as heck going to do it in my heart. Okay? And that's what I'd like for this morning. So when we ask you to stand, understand that this is actually about you saying yes to Jesus. Okay? Hope you got that. And today I'm going to use my glasses because there's lots of bits to read, which I don't normally do, you know. Would you pray with me? Eternal God, Lord of heaven and earth, we praise you for your goodness, your wisdom and seen in all of your works. Your grace and truth are revealed in Jesus Christ, your Son. Your presence and power are given to us through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, blessed Trinity, we worship and adore you forever and ever. Amen. I'd invite you to stand, and there are bits for you to say. We have failed to love you with all of our heart and to be good stewards of your creation. Lord, have mercy. We have failed to take up the cross of discipleship and to be good stewards of your gospel. Christ, have mercy. We have failed to be members of your church and to be good stewards of your spiritual gifts. Lord, have mercy. Please be seated. On the night that he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." And after supper, he took the cup. And again giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Please, would you stand again? And now we have given you thanks for the glorious pledge of the hope of our calling in the blessedness of the saints, following their example and strengthened by their fellowship. We run with resolution the race that lies before us, and that with them we may receive crowns of glory. And so we praise you with the faithful in every time and place, joining with choirs of angels and the whole of creation in the eternal hymn, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Lord Jesus, we thank you that all of our life is entwined with yours. We thank you that you have chosen that by coming to live among us. We thank you that you have been engaged with us because it is the will of the Father. We thank you that you came that we might know your love, that you were born as a baby among us, that you were prepared to give up heaven to come as a baby. And we thank you that in that journey that you chose to show us how to live. We thank you that you were gracious and loving, and that you showed that in your ministry among us. And so we rejoice that you gave everything up and that you allowed yourself to be handed over to those who would betray you. And yet in your love you gave yourself that we might be set free. That for us, the power of sin might be broken forever in your body. So we thank you that you were determined to run the race, to be our Saviour, and for us to open the door that we may come into heavenly places. And so we thank you, because you choose to live with us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd invite you to sit. As we come to this section, I'm going to ask, this is something for all of us to say together. So let us pray. This is actually an affirmation. It's an affirmation of faith, and it's an ascription of glory to Jesus. Okay? That sounds fancy, doesn't it? But it's basically about saying, gee, you're a good God. If you want the, you know, English translation. Okay? Gee, you're a good God. Let's say this as we affirm God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you. We give you thanks. We praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. For you alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High. Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The bread that we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup that we raise is a sharing in the blood of Christ. You will be served in your seats, and what we would ask is that when you have received the cup, that you spend a little time thanking God for the way that he has broken, or he has allowed himself to be broken, that we might be made whole through his gift of himself. And we drink the cup as a sign of promise, which says that our place will always be with God because he has made that possible through Jesus Christ. So when the elements come, I would ask that with each one, that you just take your time and spend this in a moment with Jesus. So I hope there are some people to distribute it. I think there are some people probably organised already. Oh, wrong breakfast. One. Let's try the other way.
Try the bread first.
Jesus died that you might live. Just stay for a moment. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you that the journey of our life is one in which you come to us over and again. And we rejoice in that. And we rejoice that as we indeed live with you, that so we would be enriched by you. As we share in this body and blood, we rejoice that your life is given for us that we might be full. Amen. We're going to sing.
Here we go.
Writer tells his story. Artist tells his view. Lady tells your fortune.
Song fill my life now and evermore.
God has spoken to us from his hanging tree. All your sin is taken, children, you are free. Let your word fill my days, let your music fill my ears, let your song
Would you pray with me? Loving Father, we thank you that you give us so much, and we don't notice much of the time how much you give us, but we do come with thankfulness, for when we have been touched by you, we know it, and so we give all these gifts that you might be glorified. Amen. In all the years that I was doing theology, they all used to talk about the grand hymn to Jesus in Philippians chapter 2. It's a great thing. And in fact, they would tell you that this is one of the very few pieces of literature that pre-exists the Bible, that was already being used to give God, glory to God, by the time that the letter to Philippi was actually written. It was taken from somewhere else. And Paul used it because he wanted to point to the way that Jesus was the example par excellence. I like that word, par excellence. But, you know, there's a couple of things tucked in here that we should pick up. Because it says in verse 12, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed. Sorry? What? There's obviously something in front of it, and that is the hymn about Jesus. You know, and you may or may not remember it. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And it goes on. Okay? Very much a powerful thing about the nature of Jesus, and it is being used to point to it, because if we go back to the beginning of the chapter, we hear this: therefore, if you have anything, any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Paul is saying to the church of the Philippians, he's saying, guys, this is the really basic stuff. This is the stuff I really want you to be. And it goes on, by the way, I would encourage you to read the whole chapter. Okay? Go home and read. It's not that long. It's only, what is it, 20-something verses? 30. It's actually 30. I thought it was 29, but it's actually 30. It's not a long read to read that one chapter. But in it, what we see is that Paul is wanting to say to the Philippians, look, guys, this really matters. And look to Jesus. He's the one who shows you why it matters and how it matters. And so we see here that Paul is crying to the Philippians and saying, look, live the way that Jesus calls you to. Live as you should. Now, there are lots of people who don't pick up on this and don't pick up on what we're reading here. Because, you know, in this, Paul says some things. Those of you who have read your newsletter will know that I listed some serious things that were there. Shall we read them again? You know, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Be blameless and pure. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. He's really talking seriously about how you should live, isn't he? And when you put it together with the stuff from earlier in the chapter, we hear this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value yourselves above others, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Are we getting it? This is actually, in one chapter, a blueprint for how you could and should live your lives. It actually lays it all out. If you want to know some basics, then hear this. If you want to know some basics, hear what this is saying. Because we are called to be disciples of Jesus. Our lives are meant to reflect what God is doing in Jesus. We're called to do that. That's why we're called to live out those things. We live in a time which has probably got more difficulties than any other. I note with interest that we can no longer trust any sort of people to do the right thing. How often do we find that people have slipped out and done the wrong thing? I mean, we're all loving to talk about Prince Andrew at the moment. But really? I mean, the guy's a sleazebag, let's be honest. You know, and he thought it was okay, as long as he didn't get caught. We see with all sorts of people in high places that somehow they think it is all right. You know, the number of people in high places who are in fact working for their own glory and not the glory of others. It's easy to take shots at Donald Trump, he of Bitcoin. What's it called? He's got a fancy name for his own Bitcoin. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But he thinks it's all right to set everything up that's good for him. We see it and have seen it over and again. The Bible says that's not how we should be. Paul is giving us an example and saying, that's not who I want you to be. I want you to be people who are made in the image of Christ. And so we have the Philippians hymn, those verses about who Jesus, what Jesus is like. And the point is that we are called to be like Jesus, that we are called to be different. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. What is the example? We are called to be like Jesus. Now, if you go to the Philippines every year, there is this tradition that some people allow themselves to be crucified. Every so often it makes it onto our TVs when it's a slow news day. At Easter, I mean. And these people are doing it not because they're wacky, well, they may be, but they're doing it as an extreme example of what it means to follow Jesus. Now, I'm not suggesting any of you should go and be crucified, okay? Let's be clear. I think it's a dumb idea. But I do want for you to understand that we are called to do all we can to live as Jesus' followers. It's a no half measures kind of deal. We are called to, in fact, be those who live our lives extravagantly. We are called to be those who go the second mile, to use a scripture analysis from some scripture verse from somewhere else. We are called to be different. And the difference that we are called to be is the difference of people who give themselves up, of people who are prepared to live that all may know the glory of Jesus. For us, what does it mean to live as followers of Jesus? Well, it means to have those things, to do everything without grumbling or arguing. Now, having had children and grandchildren, I can tell you, that's a rare thing with kids, isn't it? I mean, I've got three grandsons in the same house. You can imagine that the three of them, being boys, there's more than one or two tiffs, shall we say. There's a fair amount of to-ing and fro-ing. We naturally and easily give in to seeking what is best for us. It's sad, but the scripture understands that it's real. For us as followers of Jesus, it's easy to give in to being those who look out for ourselves. And yet, Paul starts by saying, don't grumble, don't argue. Why? What does he want? Blameless and pure. Now, I got news for you. I'm not. I know that that would be a shock to you. But I am like all of you. I understand that that's the goal, but it may not be that I get there this side of heaven. In fact, I would be very surprised if I did. But that should still be our goal, to be like Jesus. That's the purpose. And if we look further, it says, to be children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Paul understands how difficult it is for us as followers of Jesus. Paul gets it, that we don't find that easy. Paul gets it that we will stumble and fall. Paul gets it that we will not always. You know, we had that wonderful prayer, the prayer of confession, in which we acknowledge that we fall short. But Paul wants us to grasp the nettle firmly and to take the opportunity to seek to live lives that are pure and blameless, lives that are an example, just as the life of Jesus was an example to us. So what are we saying? Well, Paul says that he does this because he says, even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and will rejoice with all of you. Paul is saying that what we do, how we live, the things that we do with our lives are like a drink offering. You know, that he will be judged on what we do. He sees that as a part of what we are called to do. Have you thought about that? That somebody is prepared to give up his place and say, no, I'm going to be judged by this. I'm going to be judged by you. Have you thought about that? Do you want somebody else to be judged by you? I'll tell you, I know that when push comes to shove, if it was reliant on somebody else being judged by me or on what I've done, I would be nervous. Because I know that I fall short. But Paul says, I am prepared to be judged on you. And that's what we're called to, not because it's some sort of bad word or hard word to us. It's actually about Paul saying, I am prepared to accept what you can offer. I am prepared to live what the gospel calls, and I know that you might fail, but I am prepared to go on what you can do. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? And that's what we're called to. And what does Paul say? He says, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Paul says that for us to live a life in which we fulfill those things that he calls us to, those things which are the example of Jesus, that when we fulfill those things and do those things, then indeed Jesus shines through us. And I think that that is incredibly powerful. And that is the purpose of this, that all of us should see that this journey of our response is one which calls us to be full of the love of Jesus, with him as our example and our life lived for his purposes. I'm going to finish there. I don't need to go on. I'll just be listening to the voice, sound of my own voice for my own pleasure. We are called to be followers of Jesus. We are called to have him as our example, and we are called to live by his example. I enjoin you to, in fact, make that commitment this week to live for Jesus. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. Let us pray. This is the day that our Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You have sustained the women and the men throughout the generations. Let us give thanks for the blessings that have been bestowed upon us. We gather here today to celebrate the healing power in the love of the Holy Spirit. As we do, we offer our gratitude to Jesus. You reached out to embrace us, so it behoves us, your disciples, who are instructed in our faith, to reach out to others, to listen, to emphasize, to help, to offer friendship and love. Dear Lord, our world is ever changing and developing in a myriad way. Help us to have an influence in the new pathways that are being opened to us. We need to always remember those people in your world who require a helping hand so as not to be left behind. Please, may your presence be a mediator at the venues at which global discussions are being made so that those who make the decisions may do so with grace and an abiding sense of justice for all. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. God of grace and power, behold and bring relief to those people known to us who are suffering from ill health, sadness, depression, or loneliness. Look upon them with the eyes of your mercy. Give them comfort and confidence in your divine grace. Defend them in all danger and keep them in perpetual peace and safety. We especially remember those who are known to us. Cheer, heal, and sanctify those who are suffering. Grant to their caregivers the wisdom and the skill, the sympathy and the patience needed, and send down your blessing upon all who labor to prevent suffering and to forward your purpose of love in our world. Father of all, each one of us carries your seed within us, and at the end of our earthly life, we will carry this seed back to you. In our resurrection, which was promised by your Son, Jesus Christ, we will return to you and will be reunited with those whom we have loved, who have preceded us to your kingdom. Our Father, you know all of us, and we were created by you in your image. As is the fate of all living creatures, for each minute that we love and live, our time of death draws near. We look forward to crossing that great divide and coming into your presence to rejoice in our salvation with your company of faithful souls. We know that your angels will be present to accompany us and that a place will be made for us in your company. This was the sacrifice you made for us in your Son, and because of this, we have the promise of eternal life, everlasting, with him in heaven. We give thanks for those whom we have loved, who have passed from this life, and we ask for their resurrection and intercession for us. For those of our faith who have crossed in recent times, may your angels guide them home, as we are certain in our hearts they are safe and loved in your presence. Their journey is over. They have laid down their burdens. May our God grant them rest in his arms. As we search our souls this morning, remember the prayer that Jesus taught us. Would you please recite it with me? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, and save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the grace, yours, now and forever. Amen. God of grace, hear our prayers.
Let's sing. You can stand, you can sit, whatever. It's all good. What's it? What is it? Pray that I might. Yeah. Pray. 1, 2, 3, 4. Pray that I might. three, four.
Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant.
Two, two, three, four.
We are pilgrims on a journey and companions on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, seek the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping, when you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through. When we sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony. Born of all we've known together, of Christ's love and agony. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too.
Yesterday was All Saints Day. I would encourage you today, because we have been so blessed by the love of God, to actually think on some of the people who were your mentors, those who were the people who led you in the faith when you were very young. Because whilst they are not here anymore, they are, as it were, in the grandstands of heaven. I would ask you this week, as part of your prayer life and as part of the joy of being a disciple of Jesus, to thank all of those who have led you on the journey of being a disciple of Jesus. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
Play something.